and Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids, wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody. I'm in a bad mood.
Uh-oh. So today we want to start talking about maximizing opportunities. And fortunately or unfortunately, joyously or unjoyously, I'm about to throw out a whole bunch of pithy sayings which are true.
And since I'm already in a bad mood, join in for a fun-filled event of combat.
Three rounds of action.
I'm going to disagree with everything you're saying.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead.
You can't win if you don't play.
Well, let's just begin with what this topic is, is being open and bring everything in your mind back to friendship. All right. So being open to opportunities. What does that mean? And how do you do it? Here's the thing. All your pithy sayings, great, good for you. Good for all the people who've written books about it. How do you do it? How do you open yourself to opportunities when you are tired, you're stressed out, you have no room for anything else? It seems like you're just putting out fires all the time. You're in survival mode. Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead.
You're in survival mode. Yes, absolutely.
Just start with your pithy sayings and why it's important to do whatever your pithy sayings say we should be doing. Go ahead.
Okay. So you certainly can't win if you don't play. If you don't at least explore an opportunity, there's no way it can turn into anything. And that's universal. That's from friendship to employment opportunities to moving to a new place to...
Got it. Uh-huh. Okay. Now what?
So how do we deal with that context of friendship? You know, one thing that...
But see, you're not even explaining what it is to be open to opportunities. What does that mean and why are we doing that?
Well, I'm getting into it for friendship there, my love.
Yeah, but why don't you just try to explain what it is and then we'll put it into friendship context. What does it mean to be open to opportunities? And aren't we always open to opportunities if we're alive and moving about and working so hard?
How often do we pursue these opportunities?
It depends on the person you're asking.
Right.
But also, if you're constantly having to work to survive, or if you're constantly being thrown so many obstacles, how can you even look? You know, how can you even have time or the energy to dare dream of other possibilities or opportunities if you're feeling stuck?
And that's completely understood. And I realize there are a lot of people in that situation. And the whole key, the whole context is that opportunities appear usually when you're not necessarily looking for them. They appear when you have the capacity to even understand you're being presented with an opportunity. So certainly if you are in survival mode, as you describe, yeah, there's no way. You're not going to see them. You're absolutely right. So it's about how do you get even slightly away from that.
But recognizing everybody has that. Everybody is in survival mode. Everybody has some form of limitation. And it's even people with money, lots of money. I was listening to a religious figure talk about, it was a rabbi talking about, because it was Passover, and the whole slavery in Egypt and everything. I came into the talk late, but this is what I heard. You can take a person out of slavery, but you can't take the slavery out of the person. Like, you have to realize that you're in that mode.
And so what are you talking about? You need to educate?
I'm just saying everybody has. I brought this up to someone I hadn't talked to in a while, but I brought up that phrase like, hey, this came across my path and I found it quite liberating because I realized, wow, I have these limited beliefs right now about where I can live in the world. I have these limited beliefs about how if I'm being thrown age brackets constantly, like, oh, you can't do this at this age. Oh, you're too old for this or whatever, right? Or you're a woman, you can't do that. What, like, whatever the limitations are,
mm-hmm.
I have been experiencing them. And you know what? They're in me. So what is it that's in me? I have to realize what limitations are in me. They may not be apparent. So anyway, I brought this up to someone and then she brought up these other limitations, like talking about herself, her issues. My issues have to do with career. Like I feel like I'm stuck, you know, perhaps. Or, but she was talking about her limitations are her personality. That she has to work on her personality. That's what enslaves her. She's enslaved by that.
Right.
And yeah, and we're enslaved by so many things in our society, and especially lately, it feels like.
True. True. It's about how do we carve out a space where we can start getting a little bit outside of ourselves.
Well, one thing, the reason why we have this podcast, the reason why we started a friendship movement, why we started the whole dating, platonic dating website to find your best friend. The thing about that, the reason why I wanted to do it was because I feel that it's important for us to reconnect and remember the art of friendship because we are stronger together, that we're more powerful together. And if in society you're in so many different ways, if things are set up to keep you separate, even though you share many walls with someone that's 6 inches, how in American, how they build buildings,
mm-hmm.
what is the code? What is it, 6 or 9 inches? What is the amount of inches that separates one unit from another?
I think it probably depends on townships and states and stuff, but it's a foot,
it's a matter of inches basically. So you're basically a few inches away from someone. You don't know what they look like. You don't know their name. You don't know what they do. You never see them, but you're practically in the same room with them.
Right.
Even going to a park or anything, everything is separate. Going to a restaurant, everything is a bubble. Everything is made in a way you don't have to come in contact with people.
You don't.
And it depends where you live, but for the most part, I feel like this is the society here where we live. And I think it's set up either on purpose or by happenstance, whatever it is, it's still set up that way. And it keeps us so separate and so feeling alone that we have no one. That it's scary and we have no power, that we have, therefore, no opportunities. Think about it. Like, if you had a ton of friends, you would have less worry about food, a place to stay, someone to talk to for advice, or to just have a chuckle with. That gives you power and that gives you opportunities. It allows for you to dream because maybe you can't dream it for yourself, but your friend can say, hey, look at this other opportunity. Look, you have this opportunity. Look at this talent that you have. You may not be aware of it, but we can point each other out. We can point things out about each other. We can point things out in the world about one another. And that opens us up to opportunity. It's great for you to say, oh, just be open to opportunity. But how can you? Can you actually get there?
Right. Step one.
I'm being so mean.
You need to carve out a little space to get outside yourself.
No time, Matt.
Good time to
meditate.
People
working 2-3 jobs and they have kids.
Yes.
There's no time to meditate. And don't give me the pithy saying about if you don't have to meditate, then that means you have to meditate twice as long. Oh my God. Just enough.
Herman Hesse, Magister Ludi, 1946.
How? Tell me.
Depends on your situation. Always depends on your situation.
Of course, everything depends. Everything depends. But here's one solution I have is you cannot be open to opportunity unless you're relaxed. Well, how the hell can you get relaxed? Good for you. Matt just pointed on his notes that he had relaxed at the bottom of the page.
Well, when we get to summation. Okay.
What do you mean summation?
Where we try and tie it up into a bow.
Well, I don't want to tie it up in a bow. I want to get to it.
I know. We need to get to it. So for me, Tao of Matt, the way I think about it, I need to carve out some time for myself, step outside myself, and start to look at myself objectively.
How do you step outside of yourself? How? How do you do it?
How do I do it?
How does one do it? Let's just go back to feeling relaxed. How do you do that? You can breathe. You can remember to breathe. In the midst of chaos, breathe. If you don't breathe, we're not alive. So breathe. That will cause relaxation. Deep breaths. Take a breath.
That's, yes.
And once you do that, it changes your entire chemistry. Boom. We can just stop the show right here. Go breathe. Relax, and opportunities will be shown to you because they're around you anyway. It's a matter of seeing it. They did this study about lucky people. They wanted to do this study, and people thought, oh, okay, I'm going to go upstairs into this room and they're going to survey me with questions and they're going to figure out what mentality has lucky in their mentality or in their field. But really what it was on the way up, I guess, in the staircase or wherever they were, people left money and they said, oh, the unlucky people didn't see the money, but the lucky people picked up the money. And they were the lucky ones because they felt lucky because they were looking for opportunity.
They were open to opportunity. They weren't necessarily looking for it, but they weren't so focused on one thing.
I'm saying to be open, you have to at least relax a little bit so your vision is not so closed off. Because when you're in flight or fight, when you're in survival mode, you're focused. Your body is the same way. It's focused. Your digestive system, everything shuts down. So you can put all of your energy into running away from the problem or fixing the
problem. Or attacking the problem.
Getting away from the problem.
Right.
Fixing the problem. So no, you're not going to see a $5 bill or a $100 bill right there. No, you're not going to see the opportunities that are right there. It may be a person who wants to be friends with you right there in front of you. And you can't even hear what they're saying. You can't even see them because you're focused on survival. My number one trick, which is free, is breathe. Take deep breaths in, hold it, and then let it out. And who cares how you sound? Because usually when you do that, people are like, what's wrong? You know, like if you're like.
Yeah, I know. I think I did that this past week.
No, people do that all the time.
What's going on?
It's normal, right?
Right.
But it doesn't matter. You don't even have to reply. You're breathing. Just breathe. And that will help your body to relax. It will open up your eyes. It will open up. Your digestion can have a little breather. Also, when you do that, and things slow down a little bit. And the more you breathe, the more you focus on breathing while you're taking care of business, I feel like that will open up windows for you.
Okay, not going to argue that. For me, though, I can't focus on my breathing and focus on anything else. So for me, if I'm focusing on my breathing, I'm not taking care of business. I'm almost specifically getting outside of my business, hence stepping outside of myself.
Well, that's why people say go on a walk, because it causes you to breathe differently. And you're walking and you're doing left, right, and it balances your body.
That's interesting. I've never heard that.
Also, faith goes into it too. If you're in a situation where you can't even see people, then turn to the invisible forces. God, angels, whatever you want to call them, put a request out there while you're dealing with the problem, whatever you're dealing with, whatever the situation is. What you do is you ask for help. Help, just one word, help, and believe that it will be heard. You will be heard. Your request will be heard. If you could have faith in that, that allows you to relax a little bit more. So now you have breathing, and now you have a request you've put out there in your mind. You can even say it out loud. But now two things that have enabled you to relax a little bit.
And I would add to that a trick that I learned when I was mountain biking. When the going gets really tough and your legs are really hurting, smile. If you smile, it immediately changes your mood. As long as you're not just baring teeth, as long as you're actively smiling. And also, fun fact, if you are frowning, does the complete opposite.
When I use really foul language in those times, mm-hmm. the pressure goes away from my body and I feel so much more calm. If I can say the most horrible curse words, you know, cuss words, I'm like, whew, phew, yeah, it's out of me. I'm more relaxed. I'm not holding it in anymore.
Right.
So I'm not going to smile. I may just like go.
And now you're smiling.
After the fact.
And now you're smiling.
But after the fact of doing the opposite of smiling.
That's going, giving the raspberry isn't the opposite. That's not a frown.
And giving the finger, yeah. You know, flipping the bird.
Again, you're the opposite of power.
Yeah, but you're like, just smile.
Just
if you're upset and you smile, it looks demonic, okay?
Well, then it's not genuine, is it?
No, because how can you get to the genuine if you're not feeling it?
It has to be a genuine smile.
Matt, all these things really angrify me.
I know.
That, oh, you're having a bad day? Smile. F it. You smile. As I'm flipping you the bird, how do you feel? Feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Smile.
Yes.
You feel good if I'm flipping you the bird? No, you don't. Anyway, that's it for me. Why don't you just keep going with the show? Because I'm in a terrible mood today, guys. I don't know. Sorry.
Okay. Getting back to... Let's talk about how you can maximize opportunities, which I believe is the title of the show. And one way is by meeting people. Helps you maximize opportunities because you have no idea if this person next to you is exactly the person you want to talk to or your new best friend or perhaps nobody. It doesn't matter. The trick is that first of all, you pick the person carefully. It has to be somebody who's approachable, which my wife's feeling a little bit like a porcupine today. I winked. Number two is you have to be genuine, of course. So
I'm not a porcupine. I have daggers and swords, and don't mess with me right now. How dare you say I'm some small animals with some
little tapping.
Needles. Leave me out of this.
And the other thing is a good way to connect with people is to either ask for information, which they may or may not know, or help. So depending on circumstance, obviously, you know, perhaps it's at a grocery store and perhaps, you know, you could ask somebody what the hours are because you tend to work late. It's your job as a yada yada. All of a sudden, you're affording them opportunities to connect or not connect. And they can choose not to. So you may ask, what are the store's hours? And they might tell you, and then you immediately respond back with what I just said, which is, you know, oh, yeah, I usually work really late on Thursday, so I blah, 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 blah. Or, and it's all, it should always be about either the follow-up or the open-endedness of the question. So if... You're at a library, you're someplace with books. You don't say, do you like such and such? Because that's a yes or no question. You say, well, how do you feel about, or like at a music store, how do you feel about, you know, Pat Benatar or whatever. And of course, biggest key is, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to be bristly. And that's how it goes. And you have to like not let that kind of put you off too badly. And that'll help you relax, and that'll help you help your openness, and that will allow you to hopefully to connect and see other opportunities out in the world. You know, now that spring is springing, you know, there's a lot more color in the world, and people are loosening up, and people are lightening up, and people are seeing things that they didn't see before because, you know, those flowers weren't there last week, which really kind of makes you more open to seeing the wonder. And hopefully that will help you relax too.
I think crying helps, but sometimes you're so upset you can't even cry. But crying does help. And they're studying how the tears are actually the act of crying. Like, they're looking into so many different aspects of crying, but it is spiritually a connection to spirit, to God, to possibilities. And it's a breaking point. It's like releasing you of a burden. It's releasing you from a certain path. The act of crying releases you of burdens and hardship, and it releases you from a program that you've been living. It is a clearance. And I think, don't you feel much more relaxed after a good cry?
I don't know if I've had a good cry in a long time. I tend to weep an interesting amount. At least I used to. It's kind of calmed down again. But it's usually short bursts, very intense, and then it's gone. But I don't necessarily feel better afterwards. I certainly don't feel worse, but I don't know if I feel better. So maybe I do need a good cry.
Like, you don't feel like whatever toxins are in you have been released through crying? Maybe because you're told you're not supposed to cry.
It could be.
Anyway, relaxation. But don't turn to alcohol or anything like that. That doesn't do it. It's fake.
Well, let's say it's not organic. Crying is organic.
Everything is organic. I mean, alcohol is made by people. It's organic. It's made from something on the planet. But what? Don't roll your eyes.
I wasn't. I was looking right up at the sky.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so to open up yourself to friendship, to other opportunities, you have to relax into it. And sometimes you're mad. But that's okay. Nothing lasts forever.
So in closing, breathe. Try and relax. Go for a walk. Try and maintain an openness to new experiences. That will help you maximize opportunities when they do come. Thanks for listening.